It's time for Health Talk with Sheila White on FM Talk 106.5. Health Talk examines health issues that are important to you. Join the conversation with your questions and comments at 251-343-0106. Now your host, Sheila White.
Hello, everyone. This is Sheila White. I am the host of Health Talk with Sheila and Friends. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And tonight, our show is going to cover dementia. A little bit about Health Talk. I operate Alabama Caregivers, a division of Nursetail. And with Alabama Caregivers, we basically work with people along the Gulf Coast who are experiencing dementia. Our number one question is what resources are available for them, and general questions about dementia, what it affects, you know, how do I live my best life with dementia. I did some research online on dementia, and I didn't find many resources available. First and foremost, I want to tell you that we do have a support group for people who are going through dementia. You can call me at 251-264-3009 to get more information on that support group. But we are fortunate tonight to have one of the premier experts in dementia on the air with us tonight. Her name is Laura. And Laura Wayman is basically the international renowned dementia expert. Laura has written a book. She also is known as the Dementia Whisperer. And she is the main resource that we were able to find online on dementia. And we wanted to provide her and her expertise to you tonight. So without further ado, I want to introduce my friend tonight, Laura Wayman. How are you doing tonight, Miss Laura?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you, Sheila. And I am so honored to have the opportunity to share and raise dementia awareness and help people better understand what dementia is and how to have some hope about a better way to communicate and connect with that person who has dementia. So thank you so much for the honor of being with you tonight.
Well, thank you for coming and talking with us tonight, Laura. A couple of things. You know, like I said earlier, I did go online and I could not find a lot of resources available on dementia. I came across you and your book and also your contact information. And first and foremost, I would like for you to share that with our audience so they can write it down. I'm going to ask you another in our next segment as well, because I want them to have the necessary resources once this show is over. So could you tell me a little bit how my audience can reach you?
Well, thank you, Sheila. Of course. They can reach me through email. My email is very easy to remember. It's help, H-E-L-P, at laurawayman.com. That's LauraWayman.com. And I personally answer all of my emails. I get hundreds every week. I don't source that out to someone else. I personally will take the time to answer your emails. And if it's a really quick answer, I will just send that off to you. If you're in need of more education or resources, then I also can give you some of those, perhaps my book, perhaps having some special time consulting with me. I have very many ways that I can provide tools and resources to caregivers in need.
Where can I find your book? What is the title of your book and where can I find it?
The title of my book is A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, and it is available actually internationally. My publisher is Johns Hopkins University Press, and my book is available on any Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Many bookstores carry my book, and I am so excited to share with you, Sheila, that this year my book was translated into Russian, and it is also available all throughout the country of Russia. It is a bestseller, and so that's why I have the absolute privilege and honor of saying I'm an internationally renowned dementia expert, because this is a challenge that is worldwide. There are millions of caregivers who need this information.
Okay, my question for you, Laura, and let's start off with the basics. What is dementia?
Oh, I love sharing this because I'm going to break a few myths about what dementia is. So often, people think that dementia is all about memory loss, but dementia is not just a specific disease or illness. Dementia is an overall term that describes a group of symptoms that's associated with basically a decline in thinking skills that's severe enough to reduce a person's ability to perform everyday activities. And Sheila, what I mean behind these dementia symptoms is that just the simple fact that our brain is always trying to make sense of things, to impose order on all the information we're continuously taking in. But when an individual has a cause of dementia symptoms, these whole experiences are constantly being lost, which makes it difficult for the brain to get its bearings. So in plain language, the essential parts of the brain that we access and utilize in order to just understand the world around us, every piece of data that we receive and process and put to use to do anything is now broken, and with most causes, it will continue to become even more broken. So the way I like to describe it is the person presenting these dementia symptoms has a broken thinker. So in order for us to become dementia aware, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, it is learning to think for them.
Okay. Can you tell me, because I talk with you quite a bit, Laura, and you say that the most important thing that we can do in our lives is become a dementia aware. What is becoming dementia aware, and how would that benefit me?
Okay, so Sheila, the sad news is it's human to deny what we find unpleasant or frightening. But often when denial prevents us from seeing facts and facing their implications, it doesn't help us or our loved ones. So there's a lack of awareness and understanding of dementia, which is really resulting in stigma and barriers to diagnosis and care, because nobody wants to have a loved one experience dementia symptoms. So we're particularly we're susceptible to this kind of denial. So I call that dementia denial, and it's based in self-defense and self-protection. But denial, the only antidote for this denial is to become dementia aware. So dementia aware caregiver, a dementia aware individual displays a higher knowledge of the moving parts of dementia symptoms, the multitude of causes, and then uses tools to adapt and respond effectively. So a dementia aware caregiver understands in a very deep way all the moving parts and chooses to operate from a place of acceptance instead of denial. And so it takes a little work. There's lots of different parts and pieces, like I said, and it's changing our care approach from what we've learned throughout our lifetime of how to connect and communicate and engage with an adult to a very different way of doing this that is effective because that person has that broken thinker.
I see. I understand now, because basically becoming dementia aware, before we go to our first break, becoming dementia aware is basically where I'm a caregiver for someone with dementia, and I'm more aware of the symptoms and the things that will happen while I'm caregiving for them, basically, and while I'm watching them, I understand a better how to manage my relationship with my family member who has dementia. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can relate about how it might feel for that person to have this loss. You relate better to fill in the gaps of their ability to access this normal brain function that they lose. So you're proactive and think for them. And there's just basic strategies that we can talk about that do this in a various...
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go over some of those strategies when we return from our break.
That would be great. I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back. This is Sheila White, host of Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Tonight we're talking about dementia and how you can become dementia aware and basically get a better understanding of dementia. Again, I am the president of Alabama Caregivers, which is online at alabamacaregivers.com, a company of NurseTel. And basically, the majority of our clients are experiencing dementia and people in their lives that have been diagnosed with symptoms of dementia. We are taking callers at this moment. You can call us at 251-343-0106. We have our first caller on the line, and she's going to ask a question of our dementia expert, who is also our guest tonight, Ms. Laura Wayman. Laura, before we went to break, you and I were talking about becoming dementia aware and the benefits of becoming dementia aware. And I wanted to further go over that a little bit more with you. You were going over some of the steps or the key identifiers and stuff that caregivers would need to know regarding someone they were caring for who had dementia, correct?
Correct. And I just want to tag on to something you said, Sheila. You said that the majority of your clients are experiencing symptoms, maybe have been diagnosed with the cause of dementia symptoms. And you are absolutely right. The statistics are quite shocking because 50% of those over the age of 70 are experiencing some loss of normal brain function and dementia symptoms. And these causes are just a runaway train. That's why there's such a need to talk about this and recognize the need to become dementia aware, because this is our best hope in order to experience positive outcomes as a dementia care provider, whether you're a family caregiver or a professional caregiver.
I do have a caller that's coming in on the line now. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yes, this is Marsha.
Hi, Marsha. You have a question for Laura. What is your question tonight?
I do. I have lots of questions, but I think I would like to know, can you tell me what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Absolutely. The difference between Alzheimer's and dementia. So, like I said, dementia is in its various manifestations, which could be symptoms of loss of cognition, behavior, mood. It's a list of symptoms, very much like a cough or a fever are common symptoms of the flu. You know, if you have the cough, it doesn't necessarily mean you have lung cancer. And if you have dementia, it does not necessarily mean that your cause of dementia symptoms is Alzheimer's disease, because there are over 100 different causes. Alzheimer's is indeed the leading cause. It is a disease that does cause loss of normal brain function. But there's over 100 different causes. There's Parkinson's, there's Lewy body, there's Pick's disease, there's Huntington's disease. So all of these causes are basically causing you to lose this normal brain function that we have to access in order to be able to speak, to move, to talk, to think, to have access and utilize memories. So Alzheimer's disease is one of those causes that is causing these thousands of different manifestations of dementia symptoms. Does that help you to understand?
Yeah.
Thank you, Marsha, for your question tonight. Okay, so basically, that is one of the main questions we get, just so you know, Laura. Like, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? Which, thank you for clarifying that. A couple of other things is, okay, so a lot of people get diagnosed with dementia, okay, or right. Symptoms of dementia, as I learned from you, is the better term. What next? I go into the doctor's office and he says, you're diagnosed with dementia. What next?
Well, it's such a huge journey. I call it actually a dementia care marathon, because a dementia aware caregiver, once they hear the dreaded results that their loved one is indeed having and experiencing and presenting dementia symptoms, and if they are indeed progressive or getting worse over time, then they need to accept the fact that there's nothing they can do to stop it, fix it, or change it, but there are very compassionate ways with care approach and strategies and methods of engagement where you can have meaningful moments, that you can experience positive outcomes and connect and share these meaningful moments with the one who has dementia. But it is learning to understand and have realistic expectations about what you honestly can and cannot do. So you can't stop it, you can't fix it, you can't change it, you can't in any way try to do that, because that will make it worse. But you can learn to manage it. That's what I want. What I want caregivers to understand is they become more dementia aware. They can learn to manage it and to come alongside that person on their journey. Okay. And stay ahead of the curve and keep learning, so that, you know, as every month or day or moment brings changes, their higher level of knowledge and the more accepting they are as a caregiver will maintain more realistic expectations, and they can remain more fluid and flexible in their care plan and approach.
Realistic expectations.
So there are ways to accept this, to learn to more than just tolerate it, but manage it is the word I like to use the most.
Well, I like your word, realistic expectations, Laura. I really like that word, that phrase. But my question for you, okay, so now, you know, my mom, before she passed away, she was diagnosed with symptoms of dementia, which were, we were told by the doctor. I, at that point, became a dementia caregiver, caring for someone who had the symptoms of dementia. And your reference to caregiver, you're referencing more the family members and friends, correct, that are supporting that person?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And
yes,
so,
and when you receive, as we all become more dementia aware, if you as a caregiver receive that diagnosis that your loved one is suffering from dementia, the next question you need to ask is, what is causing the dementia symptoms? Because there's no way you could have dementia symptoms without having some cause.
Yes, so, and you're correct. Exactly. And we didn't know to ask that because we were not dementia aware at that time. The doctor just recognized some symptoms, and he diagnosed my mom with those symptoms. Callers, we are taking calls. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 251-343-0106. We're talking right now with Laura Wayman, the dementia expert. And, you know, I got a lot of questions about, you know, from caregivers. Most of my questions come from caregivers, Laura, themselves, the people that are actually working with someone or living with someone that has dementia. We do have another caller that's on the line at this present time.
Hi, Sheila. You'd given a number for the local support groups for dementia caregivers at the beginning of the show. How often do they meet? Could you give us a little bit more information about that, and also repeat that number for me?
Okay, the number is 251-264-3009. And the meetings are weekly. And so basically what we're doing now is gathering and asking people who would like to join the support group to call me. I will be in the office after the show tonight as well as throughout tomorrow. And I can send and email anyone that is interested a schedule of those dates. And then we also can change them if the group it needs it to be a different time. Because basically our whole focus, our whole goal and our whole purpose is to support each other. So we want to make sure that we are available as often as needed to help support someone dealing with dementia. Now, we're also doing events. Like, we're going to be bringing Laura into the Gulf Coast area, and we will announce that at a future date. But she will be here, and she will be talking with members of the group and answering their questions individually.
Oh, that's great. That's great information.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And we hope that if you are, you know, experiencing the issues that my clients are facing, that you would call us, because we definitely are interested in helping you live your best life as well. We care about the caregivers that are helping people with dementia, but we also care about the people that are experiencing it. So the support group is something that, you know, we want you to take advantage of. Okay, Laura, we're going to,
30 seconds.
Yeah, we're going, okay, Laura, so we have a little time before our next break, but I wanted to ask you again to tell the audience the name of your book and where they can pick it up.
Great. Thank you so much, Sheila. Well, the name of my book is A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press. And you can access the book at any bookstore, online, Amazon.com. And also you can get it on my website, laurawayman.com.
Thank you, Laura. We'll be back after this break.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back. This is Sheila White, host of Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. I wanted to remind everyone that we do have a dementia support group, because tonight our show is about dementia. Our dementia support group can be reached at 251-264-3009. And basically it's a group of family members, friends that are basically caregiving for someone with dementia. We are available 24 hours a day if you ever need help through our company, Alabama Caregivers, online at alabamacaregivers.com. Today, we decided to talk about dementia. Dementia is one of the most talked about subjects in our offices at NurseTel. The nurses, the caregivers, we all deal with clients that have dementia. So we thought that we should do this show tonight with the renowned dementia expert, Laura Wayman. She does have a book. It is in its second edition. She's internationally renowned. And basically, she's going to answer any of your questions tonight. So you can call us at 251-343-0106 if you have any questions for Laura. Laura, are you there?
I'm here, Sheila. Thank you so much once again. Such a shout out to this radio show and your organization and your interest in helping share this vital message of raising dementia awareness. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Well, thank you more. I don't like when my clients come in because they depend on us and our company to provide health information. So I don't like when they come in and they ask us a question and we don't know the answer. So as it relates to dementia, I don't know the answer. So the person that I look to is you, because whenever I Googled you and I Googled dementia, you were pretty much by far the premier expert in the industry. So we're honored to have you here. We're honored that you're going to come down and see us and talk with us in the next couple of months. And I wanted to just kind of continue our discussion on dementia and invite anyone that's listening that has any question, feel free to call us, because we're here for you tonight at 251 343-0106. And Laura, we went over, once you diagnosed with dementia, what next? What happens next? And you went through a couple of the things that we would deal with. But we also have a caller that just called in, so I guess we should answer their question and thank them for calling us tonight. Are you there, caller?
Yes. Could you tell me if there are any tests or measures that can tell how fast the progression of dementia will happen?
I'm sorry, Sheila. Can you repeat that question?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Could you repeat it? We couldn't hear you that well.
A rate of progress for a normal dementia patient?
Are you asking what is the progression for? Oh, is there a test for the progression of the dementia?
Yes.
Do you hear her, Laura? She's asking, is there a test, a way to test the progressiveness of dementia that someone may have?
Well, unfortunately, there's no simple test to help us understand the progress or even to confirm the cause, because we can't do an invasive test on a living person in their brain. So we can't take a biopsy and find out how much damage there is. What we can do, what the medical profession does have at their fingertips to help us to understand a progression, is we can do a PET scan or some kind of brain scan so that we can see the actual damage, which shows up quite, it's overwhelming, the kind of damage that these causes can do to the brain. However, everyone progresses differently. If you know one person who's presenting dementia symptoms, you have to understand that you only know one person who's presenting dementia symptoms, because everybody presents in such a different way. As a matter of fact, for me to give you the average, once someone has been diagnosed, say, with Alzheimer's, they on average will progress to the end stages anywhere from 2 to 20 years. So you see, everybody is so different. Often, family members will ask me, well, what stage is mom in? And I'll say hers, because it's so individualized and customized. Now, there's some commonalities. So what I see is, with Alzheimer's, for example, I see basically about a 7 to 10 year stretch is kind of what I see most often. But with some of these other causes, like Huntington's disease, that tends to progress much faster. With early onset Alzheimer's disease, that tends, or young onset, if you're younger than about 65, when you first start to have these kinds of symptoms, that's a totally different condition. And that can go even faster. It can go anywhere from 3 to 5 years. So the younger you are, the faster it seems to go, which is so interesting and so counterintuitive to what we think should be happening.
Okay, so basically, you're stating that there's really no test because everyone is individualized. Everyone experiences the disease or the symptoms in their own way. So I may be different if I have it than the next person. So once you're diagnosed with dementia, is there any lifestyle changes you can make to kind of extend your life or your time with it? Or is there really nothing you can do until you determine the stage or you determine how it's going to affect your body?
Well, there is no processes for recovery or treatment.
Mm-hmm.
What the dementia symptoms, if the cause is a progressive cause, so it's going to get worse over time because you continue to lose brain function, the dementia symptoms will continue to increase and the individual will continue to decline in their ability over time. And that person can no longer determine their own course of action or take responsibilities for their actions. So then community-wide or caregiver-wide dementia care training is necessary to step in and do the thinking for them. Now, you can keep that what you have what you still have of your healthy brain function, you want to keep that as healthy as possible. So we're not going to give up on that person just because they're showing loss. What we're going to do is continue to support and keep healthy what processes and functions they still have, and keep their body, their heart, just their overall physical being as healthy as possible, because that's what will slow down the loss. So the more you stress that brain, the more you don't take care of it, the faster that loss will happen, because it just makes the brain more vulnerable.
I see. So there's no like brain food or like jogging won't help, like just any type of stimuli that I can do, like changing my diet, or there's nothing like that that we know of that can help me prolong my life with more memory. Because I know, you know, what I want to go through after we talk about this side is what exactly are the symptoms of dementia. But right now, my general question is, what is there anything I can do, like food-wise, dietary-wise, to kind of help me once I'm diagnosed with dementia?
Well, what I want you to understand is we do indeed want to eat a healthy diet. You know, probably what they found most healthy for the brain, for example, through research, is the Mediterranean diet. And we want to exercise to keep our heart and our body strong, because we want our heart to pump that oxygen-rich blood to our brain. We want to do all of that, but we have to understand we're only keeping our healthy brain healthy for as long as possible. We're not replacing or in any way stopping the loss. So it's just that realistic expectation and understanding, and, you know, sitting in the whole idea that what we're doing is we're managing it. That's what we're doing. We're not, no amount of coconut oil is going to give back that brain loss once a person has lost it to Alzheimer's or any of these other causes.
Okay, so basically the dietary component, are you stating that it can help with retaining some of the memory loss, or can it help with, like, what does that do for me? Like, if I change my diet, what happens?
Well, there certainly is lots of studies saying that they believe that changing our diet and staying as healthy as possible, once we have this loss going on, that it does slow down the progress. And so if you think about it this way, Sheila, think about that all of that learned brain function. If we could imagine that you were in a rainforest, and all of the learned brain function were healthy palm leaves, and you, in a rainforest, there's thousands and thousands of palm leaves, and every time you treat your brain in a healthy way, you grow more palm leaves. So your particular rainforest has millions of palm leaves, and then Alzheimer's comes in, and think of Alzheimer's like one weed whacker. Now, it's not going to stop Alzheimer's from whacking down your healthy palm leaves, but it will slow it down because there's so many palm leaves to whack down. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes sense. It'll slow it down, but what I've already lost, I've lost.
Right.
I understand that 100%, but what ideally, like, what exactly are the symptoms of dementia? So, like, is it, because I remember speaking with you once, and you said memory loss is not the biggest factor, but for our clients who have family members that have dementia, that seems to be the most painful part of it.
Yes, and that's the one that people kind of get tripped up on. And I always want to say that we have to stop thinking of dementia as memory loss, because it can be, but not always. And so people get confused and don't understand that any of these causes affect all different key thought processes. It can affect memory, but it also can affect language and communication, which will hinder the ability to communicate, to speak, to understand language.
Well,
it can hinder people's reasoning, so they can no longer be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also hinder their balance and coordination. So there are
physical symptoms that we see, and often we see the loss of balance and coordination early. I hear from family members all the time, they say, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, my dad, 10 years ago, suddenly he just got kind of clumsy.
So what we're going to do is we're going to continue this after the break.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back. This is Sheila White, and you're listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Tonight, our friend and expert is Laura Wayman, the world-renowned expert on dementia. Laura is here to help us better understand dementia, the causes and effects. And I have a caller on the line. Hi, caller. What is your name?
This is Buddy. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Hi, Buddy. You have a question for Laura tonight?
The question is dementia hereditary?
Hi, Laura. Did you hear his question?
Yes, that's a great question. Is dementia hereditary? Well, most causes, especially the diseases and brain diseases and brain illnesses such as Alzheimer's, are showing much familial recognition. In other words, we are seeing that it is passed down. There are some, such as Huntington's disease, that has been proven that's where you're going to get it. It is 100% passed down through your genes. However, there are some sporadic events of dementia where we can't trace back that it is in your family or your ancestors, but that may be just the fact that it was not diagnosed, that now we are on a very scientific track to build these kinds of genetic ladders so that we can find our way back. I suspect, just observing, that it probably is very much genetic, very much being passed on. But I think that we as humans have this chink in our DNA armor, and so more than half of us are going to be experiencing this. Now, the reason we haven't seen this in the past is because we didn't live long enough to see it, because this is all age-related in the fact we are much more vulnerable to having one of these causes as we age. So, we didn't used to live this long, so we didn't show up with our dementia symptoms with our ancestors.
Oh, wow.
So, it's kind of a maybe, probably answer that it is probably genetic.
Yes, thank you, Buddy. Thank you for your call. And if you have any additional questions, feel free to call us back. We do have also, Laura, another caller on the line named Andrew. Are you there, Andrew?
Yes, I am, Sheila. Thank you for taking my call. I actually have two questions, if I may.
Yes, of course.
The first question is dementia more prevalent between men or women? And then the second question is, what is the difference between dementia as we know it and FTD, frontotemporal dementia? And also, can you explain why is it frontotemporal dementia more prevalent with people under the age of 60?
Is dementia symptoms more prevalent in women rather than men? And the answer is yes, and it used to be that more women were statistically were showing dementia symptoms, but that was put the answer for that, or the solution of why, was because women basically were tending to live longer than men. So as we age, we become more susceptible to having these causes and showing these dementia symptoms. But now that gap is starting to close because women are now in more stressful lifestyles, and so that gap. Like I said, they're not living quite as long. However, there's much scientific study showing that because women have certain different hormone levels and chemistry in their brains, that they are, once again, more susceptible. So even though that gap is closing, women still kind of lead the pack with the diagnosis of these different dementias. And then when it comes to frontal temporal dementia, that is a very, FTD, that is a very different cause, different than Alzheimer's. And our brain tends to be more vulnerable at a younger age for some reason with some of these causes of degenerative FTD. And so, yes, we will see more symptoms. Alzheimer's tends to affect those, and the statistics are like 90% of those affected with Alzheimer's are over the age of 65. So our brain tends to be more vulnerable to Alzheimer's at an older age, whereas FTD, that is a totally different cause, a totally different strategy in the way that it's going about taking this loss away from someone, and our brains are much more vulnerable to that at a younger age. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for your call tonight. Those are great questions, and I wanted to go over a couple other things, because before we took those questions, we were talking about the symptoms, and you were explaining that memory loss was not the number one symptom of dementia. Now, basically, what is?
Well, the number one symptom, kind of the global symptom that we have the most challenges with, is the loss of ability to process common information. So when we learn how to process what we see as an infant, we save that information because an infant comes to this world with the ability to see, but we have to learn the learn brain function of processing what we see and how to use that information. And then we store that and we use it and we learn more and more, layers upon layers. And then, you know, an infant comes to this world with the ability to hear, but they have to learn to process, to think about, to understand, to utilize that information. We have to process the thinker, the executive function part of our brain is so important for us to actually utilize all of this data that comes to us so that we can do things as a human. So what the biggest challenge is that most of these causes affect that processor. Mm-hmm. So all this information that we process on autopilot, when we hear something, when we see something, when we go to move, when we go to speak, those are is exactly the functions that we lose, and it provides these gaps in our experience as we do anything. So I always say, just like to simplify it, I say they have a broken thinker. It's their ability to process information that really makes them the individual, the human. So even when we talk about memory, in order to understand and process the information that actually makes a memory, you have to retrieve the memory from the part of the brain where it's stored, and then you have to recapture and process the information that makes it a memory. So if you can't do that, then the memory will mean nothing to you.
I understand.
So it's all
Laura.
About this processing.
Well, I understand what you're stating. A couple of things that, you know, that I myself had questions about is, you know, memory, you know, like I told you, that is the most painful, but that's just part of the overall loss of processing, correct? So that's right. Just one of the elements of it, correct?
Right, right. Because if your brain, if you go to access a memory, you have to think about where did that memory happen? When did it happen? Why did it happen? Was anybody with you? How did it make you feel? Sad, happy, scared, alone? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you touch? What did you say? So you have to advance into a thinking mode to process each detail in order for you to remember. So even if you process a memory, if you can't do all of that, you won't be able to utilize that information. You won't remember. It's just kind of that simple. If you can't think about it, you won't be able to
to use that information.
I understand. I understand. And thank you so much. If you have any additional calls, please call us at 251-343-0106. We're here tonight to answer any question you may have, however big or small you think it may be.